Hello and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim, and tonight we have a new edition of Jim Goes to the Movies, in which I will discuss the new Seth Rogen Charlize Theron film Longshot and Detective Pikachu. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our Morning Manga Me podcast and our other social media content at Manga Me Players, all across the different social media. Alright, let's get into it. Alright, so, Longshot. Just if you don't know what the movie is, it's Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen. Charlize Theron plays the Secretary of State, and the sitting president decides not to go for a second term, so he wants to endorse her. So she starts the very early stages of setting up a campaign to run, and Seth Rogen's character is a journalist, and we meet him when he's gone undercover to infiltrate a Nazi group, and so he does these kind of really hard-hitting stories. Loses his job and bumps into her. Turns out that they have known each other since they were kids. She used to babysit for him, and she decides to hire him as a screenwriter. And it's from there, it's, you know, classic rom-com. Will they, won't they, will they, won't they? Normally, this is not my kind of a movie. I don't really like rom-coms because they're just boring. Every rom-com is the exact same, and this movie is no exception. The only thing that makes it unique is that it's Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, and it's rated R, and there's one scene in particular that is fairly notable. Excuse me.
It's not really what I normally go for, just because, you know, it just gets boring, you know, because every single movie like this, it has the exact same formula, you know. It's person meets person. I don't want to just go with boy meets girl, because, you know, not every movie's boy meets girl anymore. But person meets person. They either do or don't have some previous connection to each other. Sparks start to fly. They get together, and then they're driven apart, and then they get back together again at the end. And that's literally every single romantic comedy ever made. So it's just boring. You know, you're boring. But, you know, if it's got, you know, the right elements put together, like cast and, you know, the way that they approach the story and stuff like that, then it can be enjoyable. And that's what this movie does. You know, because Seth Rogen, you never think that Seth Rogen would have a shot with Charlize Theron. I mean, literally the other day, this lady said to me, you know, that Charlize is so beautiful that she would make her switch teams. And I was just like, okay. I mean, I feel where you're coming from. Charlize is a very beautiful woman. you put an amazing actress like Charlize Theron in something like this, and you put her opposite, you know, a Seth Rogen, and you're going to get some pretty interesting results. I mean, you know, I just love, too, how Charlize has been doing these more fun, comedic-type things, like when she did A Million Ways to Die in the West with Seth MacFarlane, and then when she guest-starred on Seth MacFarlane's new show, The Orville. I just love that she's doing this kind of stuff that, you know, she doesn't normally do, because normally she does, like, really dramatic stuff or, like, action stuff, so, you know. It's just really cool when you see an actor that you love so much branch out and do something different. Because it's just really enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much fun. I mean, the same thing goes with Seth Rogen. You know, like, he's had a couple of dramatic roles, and you know, we all know him for as being the, you know, the stoner guy. But, you know, to see him play Steve Wozniak in, you know, Jobs, in Steve Jobs with, you know, opposite Michael Fassbender, that's like, whoa, you know what I mean? So it's just really cool to see a performer, you know, branch out and try something different. I really did like this movie, though. It's really hilarious. The writing is really good in it. The director did a great job as well. Not too noteworthy anything outside of, you know, like, it's you know, it's not going to win an Academy Award for cinematography or editing or writing or anything like that. But it is very, it's very, very good. It's a really cool movie. And I love the flip-flop, because normally in rom-coms, typically the guy is usually in the position of power. And again, that's just what makes things, that just makes it boring. You know, it's like, okay, I've seen this movie literally 39 times. And it's just like, come on, just do something different. And so for Charlize Theron to be literally the most powerful woman in the world, and for this guy to just not be intimidated by that, because that's just how much he's into her, is just really refreshing and really nice. And, you know, it kind of, it makes us guys look a little bit better than we've been looking, you know, recently. you know, at least, you know, it's like, at least in on the screen in the movie, you know, there's a guy who, you know, is so into this woman and respects her so much that, you know, the fact that she's the most powerful woman in the world doesn't make him a limp noodle, if you will. And that's awesome, you know what I mean? Because I don't see why there would be, why that would, like, you know, matter. I mean, like, yeah, it might be a little bit intimidating, but, like, woman in power, that's sexy. I mean, real, I mean, come on, dude, like, and more powerful than you, like, and then the most powerful woman in the world. Now, that might be a little bit intimidating, but, like, still, that would be tight, dude. Like, the most powerful woman in the world, and she's into you. Like, how are you going to, like, say no to that? Like, what? No, man. Like, that's tight. And then just, like, some of this, and then just, like, what are the, there's a scene, and I'm not going to say anything about it, because I don't want to give it any, you know me, I don't like to spoil anything, but just there's this one scene where some stuff goes on and, like, kind of, you know, just, like, turn, like she, like, gives him some of the power in this one particular instance, and his reaction to it is so hilarious. But it's just, yeah, it's just a really funny movie, really good time. Because, I mean, you know, again, it's an unlikely pairing, both just in terms of, like, two performers who you wouldn't think would do a movie together, and, you know, two characters who you wouldn't think would even go for it much, you know. So yeah, just a really good movie overall. Really, really hilarious. I mean, like, so funny. Yeah, I just can't wait to see it again. That's pretty much all I got on this one. So yeah, gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Stay tuned. Hey, Nightcap listeners, this is Heath from the morning show, Morning Mug of Me. So if you want more Mug of Me content and you just want to check out more of the Mug of Me players, go over to Morning Mug of Me wherever podcasts are streamed. That's Morning Mug of Me, and we're a morning show. So start your day with me, and you can end your day with Jim. Again, that's Morning Mug of Me, and you can find that wherever podcasts are streamed. That's MANGAMI players, all condensed into one word. All right, Detective Pikachu. I was so excited when this movie was announced. It was crazy. I've been a fan of Pokemon since I was a kid. And then I, you know, I fell out of it. And then recently, within the past few years, have gotten super into anime and manga stuff. So, of course, I started getting into Pokemon again as well. Before I actually continue with Detective Pikachu, I just want to... we're gonna take a quick stroll down memory lane. I remember when Pokemon the first movie came out, and that's the one with Mew and Mewtwo. I was flipping through the trivia on it, and I found out that the Japanese version is wildly different to the American one, and the American version makes Mewtwo just a cold-hearted bastard, and apparently in the Japanese version, he's not that. He's just kind of misunderstood, and he wants to earn a rightful place in the world. So I'm very interested now to get my hands on the Japanese version and see what that's about. Because that just totally changes everything for me. But regardless of, you know, the changes they made to the story, the moment in the climactic battle where Ash does what he does, if you haven't seen the movie, I don't want to ruin it for him. And then how Pikachu and the other Pokemon and people there react to it. It's just like, that moment gets me every single time, you know? I mean, I remember even just, you know, going down the rabbit hole on Facebook, and they had that clip of that moment, and just the clip alone brought me to tears, because that's how an emotional moment it is, and like how connected I am to this universe. And it's just really, really exciting to see this wonderful resurgence of interest in Pokemon. Because I mean, you know, it's kind of ups and downs. You know, it's always been there's always been interest, and then there's like spikes where it's like, oh, we're getting like Pokemon gets a lot more heat than it usually does. So it was just really exciting to, you know, especially working at the movie theater, and, you know, we got these, promotional, Pokemon trading cards in, and, you know, to, like here, this is actually a really nice story. It just made me feel so good the other day. I'm working in the box office, and this woman and her kid come in, and, the kid's kind of freaking out, that they were late for the movie, and, you know, I'm like, no, you guys are all good, you got a couple of minutes before it starts, and he just went nuts, and it was just like, oh, you know, it just warmed my heart a little bit. Like, I didn't even do anything, I just told him what time it was, literally the time of day, and that just, like, brought immense joy into this kid, and, like, it was just... It was just so sweet. Oh my god. But then, you know, to see the reactions when, you know, I'm handing out these trading cards and stuff, and it fills me with joy to see that this thing that I've loved since I was a kid still creates so much excitement and happiness for other kids, you know, that are not in my generation, that are this new generation. So it's just really exciting and really just makes me so happy inside, and fills my heart that Pokemon still gets so much love, from my generation and from the generation that's preceding me. So I'm just really happy about that. Anyway, on to Detective Pikachu. I love it. Loved it to death. Whoever it was that thought, hey, you know what we should do? If we're going to have a talking Pikachu, why don't we get Ryan Reynolds? Whoever that was, thank you. Because genius. Perfect, wonderful, awesome move to do that. Because it's just so hilarious to see Ryan Reynolds' voice coming out of that cute, adorable... face that Pikachu has. I mean, oh my god, it's so hilarious. It's absolutely incredible. And Justice Smith as the lead character Tim is wonderful. You know, the entire cast is great. Love them, and the effects are incredible in this movie. I mean, ugh, it's just, it's a feast for the eyes. And the Pokemon look amazing. They're incredible. Just to see, and that's the other thing, you know, to see these creatures that I've known for so long, and to see them come to life in a live action film like this is spectacular and just amazing. You know, so basically, if you don't know anything about the movie, the basic story is Justice Smith's character Tim is a former aspiring Pokemon trainer, and you know, just fell out of it. Doesn't have a really great relationship with his dad, and he hears one day that his dad's died. So he goes to Rhyme City, which is what the city's called, where his dad was a cop, a detective, and to you know, put his affairs in order and clean out his apartment and such. And when he goes to the guy's apartment, his dad's apartment, he finds this Pikachu that can talk, but only he can hear him use regular words, not just Pika Pika. And they embark on an epic quest to solve the mystery of Harry, that's Tim's dad's name, of Harry's demise. Just so much fun this movie is. And it's a real, and it's such a great relationship that these two have, this talking Pikachu, with his deer stalker Sherlock Holmes hat, and this kid who's just lost his father and, you know, has just not been interested in Pokemon since he was a kid, and to see this resurgence of love for these amazing creatures that surround everybody in this world, and then, you know, where it ends up is just absolutely amazing. The ending is great. I did not see it coming at all. I realize I've probably say that a lot when it comes to like movies that have a little twisty ending to them. And the reason for that is I'm not sitting there, especially when I'm watching a movie for the first time, I'm not sitting there analyzing the movie unless something takes me out of the experience. You know, like I sit down, the movie starts, and then as long as the movie is engaging, then that's all. I'm just like, movie. Okay, that happened. Whoa, ha ha ha. Oh, I'm sad. You know, I'm just reacting to what's happening in the movie. I'm not like analyzing like, oh, that could mean this. Oh, so that line means that, oh, so that's what's going to happen now. I'm not doing that stuff. You know what I mean? Because it just ruins the experience for me. And I hate it, you know? I hate being taken out of the movie. And that's the thing, like, I forget which movie it was, but about a week ago or something like that, there was this movie, and one thing happened, and then another, and then things just kept happening, and I just started tearing this movie apart while I'm sitting there watching it, and I hate when that happens to me, you know? So I just want to be into the movie, and then, you know, then I want to think about it afterwards. Like, it doesn't bring me any joy to be like watching a movie and then be like, oh, this is going to happen next. And then, you know, like, I don't have that, like, you know, that satisfaction of called it. A TV show, I will do that sometimes, just because, like, TV shows, just there's so much more going on, like, in just like in terms of just the amount of stuff. So TV shows I can get taken out of a little bit. So I will occasionally do things like that. But a movie, I just want to be in the movie. And the great thing about this movie is that I was just in the movie. I was just watching the movie and enjoying the movie. And it's great, 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 great movie. Getting back to the relationship between Tim and Pikachu, I just love their dynamic together because, you know, Tim is definitely, it's a hero's quest kind of a thing, and the hero's quest, you know, there's always the moment where the hero rejects the quest, and he says, no, I'm not going on this journey, I'm not going on this adventure, I don't want anything to do with it, shoo, go away, adventure, go away, quest, go away, journey, I want nothing to do with you. Vanish into the ether, into the cosmos. And even though that's like that happens so often, I don't care because it just doesn't get old for some reason. I mean, as long as it's done right, I should say. As long as it's done right, then it doesn't get old. And this one does it right. And Ryan Reynolds is just so funny as Pikachu, as Detective Pikachu, I should call him. Just amazing casting and just absolutely great. And the effects, again, are absolutely incredible. Like, there's, well, I don't want to give too much stuff away. Also, they're great. Let's just go with that. They're really, really good. They're really, really good. It's a really well-made movie. But yeah, the relationship between Tim and Pikachu, it really kind of mirrors the relationship that Ash and Pikachu have from the original series, Indigo League. You know, because if you don't know anything about, like, the original show, Ash did not want a Pikachu as his first Pokemon. It was just that was what's left. His Pikachu did not cooperate. So he would not stay in his Pokeball. And eventually it got to the point where Ash was just like, well, I don't even want him to be cooped up in his Pokeball. And that's what Rhyme City, the city that the majority of action takes place, is built upon, is the relationship between Pokemon and people. So there's no trainers, there's, no Pokemon battles and stuff like that. It's just no Pokemon are in the Pokeballs. They're just free to walk around, you know, through the city with their homie, with their person. And I love that. That's beautiful, you know, because you have to, you really, if you really break it down and think about it for a second, then it makes more sense. These are living animals. These are creatures, you know. They're not, you know, like animatronic something, you know, robot cyborg things or whatever. They're living, breathing creatures. You know, they eat and they drink and they sleep. And so, to me, it's always bothered me, the whole Pokeball situation, because you're taking a living creature and then you use this piece of technology, right? And it zaps them up and then technology them into, you know, a container that's no bigger than a baseball. And that really just really has always bothered me about Pokemon. Like, I love Pokemon so much, but the Pokeball thing just really bothers me, always has. Because again, these are living creatures. Think about it like this. You take your dog, and you have a Pokeball, right? And you put your dog in the Pokeball. That's probably not going to be super enjoyable, right? And actually, one of my favorite kind of comedy parody bits, I believe it was like a Pokemon Go parody, and you know, someone throws a Pokeball at a human being and captures them, and then, you know, Jared, I choose you, or whatever the guy's name was, and the guy comes out and all of his limbs are busted and, you know, his spine is broken, and it's pretty gruesome, but it's presented very comedically, and he's like, you know, oh, I can't move, I'm paralyzed, I'm gonna die. Why would you do that? But you know, there's like this ring of real truth to it, you know, because it's like, well, dude, yeah, like, I mean, imagine what it must be like for a Pokemon to be inside a Pokeball for days on end or whatever, you know, until you're finally like, okay, Charizard, I choose you, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it just always bothered me. So that's why I love this movie and the idea of this city, that there is no Pokeballs, there are no battles. It's just about, you know, a tender, wonderful friendship with these magnificent animals. And that's so beautiful to me. I love it. Because that's the thing that I've always loved about Ash and Pikachu is that, you know, there's nobody else really like Pikachu and Ash. I mean, even Misty and Brock barely ever have any of their Pokemon just out hanging out with them. You know what I mean? Which is a bummer. It's like, dude, if you had a bunch of like these magnificent creatures, that, you know, are cool with you, like, why would you not want to hang out with all of them all of the time? You know what I mean? Like, why would you not want to have Pikachu and Bulbasaur and Charmander and Squirtle just right there rocking, hanging out with you all the time? Like, come on, that would be sick. Are you kidding me? Like, why would you relegate them to this prison, you know, and throw them in your backpack, like, whatever, you know? Like, nah, forget that. That's bull. Like, nah, man. That would be the problem if I was a trainer, though. Because if I was a trainer and, you know, gotta catch 'em all, don't sue me. that, you know, eventually you get to the point where I'm, you know, it's like 100... I'm like 100 Pokemon deep or whatever. It's like, that would be a little bit tough. But still, I would still want to try to pull that off, you know what I mean? Just like, we'll have a convoy, you know what I mean? Just like, let's go, guys. Just a line of Pokemon, you know, super long. I mean, and then, hey, if someone tries some stuff on the road or whatever, guess what? I have 100 Pokemon ready to go. Like, I don't have to be like, I choose you. Like, no, dude, I'd just be like, hey, Onyx, bust these fools up. They're trying to rob us. Like, no, I don't think so. What up, bruh? You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of more, there's benefits. So yeah, I just love this the idea of this city, where there is none of that, and it's just you and your Pokemon hanging out all day. That's tight, you know. And the cool thing too is, like, they have jobs and stuff. So, like, Harry's dad has a Pikachu partner, you know. So cops can have a Pokemon partner. And so it's really cool when you see, like, cops from, like, a canine unit, and they have, you know, their dog-esque Pokemon. I didn't memorize all the Pokemon names, but, you know, the guy that, he's got kind of like a tiger color scheme vibe going on, but he's a dog and he's badass. But yeah, just stuff like that. It's just so cool, you know, just to see all these amazing Pokemon that you grew up with as a kid. And they're just walking around the city with their person, with their homies, you know. It's just awesome. It's just such a good time movie. And yeah, it's just amazing. Okay, I'm gonna shut up now. All right. Yeah, I guess that's gonna do it for us for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry I've been gone for a little while, just life. But I'm back, baby. And you know, thank you so much. I appreciate, you know, all you guys listening and interacting with me and Heath through social media and stuff like that. It's really wonderful. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. If you like this, check out Heath's show, Morning Mangami. Check us out on Instagram, on YouTube. I'm gonna start streaming stuff again real soon. There's a new game that I really want to get and start playing for you guys, so look forward for that, and yeah, you know, yeah, just look us up. Wow, this outro is kind of going off the rails here. check us out on across the social media, like I said, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. It's Manga Me Players at Manga Me Players at Manga Me Players. And yeah, that's it. Thanks so much again for listening. Thanks for stopping by for a nightcap. I hope you have a lovely night or a day or whatever, whenever you're listening to this. Good night.
The Nightcap with Jim podcast is a Mungami production, hosted by James Smith, produced by Heath LeBombard and James Smith. For more Mungami content, visit Mungami Players all across the social medias.